Hallelujah. It's our last Sunday before Christmas, and we've been on this series titled The Gift, and we have read multiple times over and over, even in the services, the same passage of Scripture, which was this powerful prophecy, this powerful announcement of the great gift of God coming to the earth. There was never an announcement made of this magnitude. God was coming to become one of us, and then to offer himself to save us, to be with us, to redeem us, to transform us. And what I want to do is I want to read this passage one more time to celebrate the different facets of who Jesus came to be to each and every one of us. We've titled this series, The Gift, and I want to remind you, a gift looks beautiful under a tree, but you don't get the most out of it unless you open the gift. Everybody say, open the gift. And whether you're watching online or here in the room, I want to encourage you to open. Jesus is a gift that you can open day after day, and he will surprise you and bless you. How many would say amen? He really is the gift that keeps on giving. And so Isaiah chapter 9 says, verse 6 says this, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders." Hallelujah. "And he will be called," let's read this together, "Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Hallelujah. Prince of Peace is going to be our focus. And I want to highlight that it goes on to say, "Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end." His lordship and his peace will only increase and increase and increase, and that will be the case for all of eternity when we see him face to face. Hallelujah. How many would say amen to the Son of the Most High God? Now, when you put the three facets of who he is, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, guess what that equals? It equals Prince of Peace. When you think about who he is, he's the all-knowing God who knows what's best for you because he's the Wonderful Counselor. When you think about the fact that he is the all-powerful God who is able to provide and protect according to his riches and glory. When you add that to the Everlasting Father, the perfect love that never gives up on you, that always cares for you, you put all of those together, and guess what it all adds up to? It adds up to perfect, the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the one and only Prince of Peace. Somebody say amen to that. Hallelujah. And what's so wonderful about our God is that he can give us a peace that surpasses all understanding, even while the whole entire world is in like great turmoil. So the world could be going crazy, but you and I can have the peace of Christ that surpasses all understanding. That's what he wants to give us. That's what he came to provide for us. Can I tell you, I want to give you a preview of the future when the Bible says there will be no end to his peace. Later on in the book of Isaiah in chapter 11, it talks about the ultimate peace. Let me give you a quick picture of the ultimate peace. I love when I read this, it makes my heart jump for joy. This is a prophetic description of peace. There will be a day when the wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together. And here was the prophecy, and a little child will lead them. What was the Bible saying? What it was saying is, you take the most aggressive predator to prey relationships that there are. Animals only have instincts. They have no thinking in terms of morality. They only have their instincts. A predator will pounce on prey. The peace of God is so powerful, so profound on that day that the lion and the lamb, they will lay down together. He will, at the most rudimentary level, at the most organic level, he's going to remove all enemies. He's going to remove all anger. He's going to remove all adversaries. Everything will be lifted, and we will walk and experience perfect peace. I'm telling you right now, there's a perfect peace that is coming. And it will be provided by the Prince of Peace. As the times get crazy, if you're watching online, can I tell you something? Jesus prophesied that he would come. And Jesus has also prophesied that he's coming back. Hallelujah! He's coming back for his people. And I want to encourage you to prepare to meet the Prince of Peace. He says he prepares a table for us. On that day, there's going to be a great celebration. You see, on Christmas, on the night when Jesus was announced, when they worshiped him, the great wise men, when they worshiped him, there was a celebration in heaven. But that was just the beginning, because one day we will gather at this amazing table and there will be a great celebration, because the Savior of the world would have finished his work. And when he finishes his work, can I tell you something? You will never again have a moment of strife or stress in your life. You will never worry. You will never cry. You will never hurt. Hallelujah. It will be lifted forever and ever. How many are looking forward to the day? Blessed be that day. Oh, come, Lord Jesus, come. But here's what he says. Until that day, I am your Prince of Peace. I am your Prince of Peace. Even on this planet, Jesus promises to be the Prince of Peace. And can I tell you this? The more God leads your life, the more you experience his peace. So now, when the Bible talks about peace, even though there's going to be this radical, universal peace, when the Bible talks about peace this side of heaven, it is primarily talking about personal peace. I want to pray in a moment, but I want you to pray for the right thing when you hear these incredible promises. What is personal peace? Personal peace is the calm. Everybody say calm. The clarity, everyone say clarity, and the contentment, everybody say contentment, and the contentment that comes from Christ alone. Whatever you're facing this season, and for many, the holiday seasons, because of loss, because of hurt, because of pain, sometimes the holiday seasons are more painful, but Jesus came so that no matter what you've encountered, no matter what you've been through, he came to give us calm, clarity. And when I say clarity, what do we mean by clarity? We mean like you can have the clarity that even though life is crazy and life has been painful from time to time, you can rest knowing that God has it all under control. Somebody say amen. And there's this contentment that comes from Christ alone. He is the Prince of Peace. It was either it was either in the 60s or the 70s, maybe the 80s, that a picture was taken and has become like universal for describing peace. And I want to put that up on the screen for you. So this was taken from a helicopter, and the seas were raging, and the guy was at this lighthouse, and he thought that the helicopter was coming to save him. It was the wrong helicopter. But what's cool about it is that even though the storms were raging, guess what he was doing? He was just chilling. You know what peace is? Peace is knowing that God will keep you when the storms are raging. How many would say amen? Hallelujah. And so I want to pray for something very special and very supernatural right now. If you're watching online, if you're here in this room, I want to pray that God would give us all his peace. I want to pray that he would minister to every heart. I think it would be right for us to join our faith together and say, Prince of Peace, release your peace. So come on, lift your hands with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we're so grateful that you broke into our world. And you took on the form of a servant. You became a man. Because, Lord, it was your plan, your destiny, to be our Prince of Peace. And, Lord, I lift up, Father, all of your people who will hear this word. And, God, only you know, Lord, the things that are like turbulent storms inside of them. Only you know worries, fears, dreams, ambitions, doubts, hurts, and pains. None of us know, but the Holy Spirit knows all. And we thank you that you are the Prince of Peace. So, Father, I pray, Lord, that through the truth of your word and through the power of your Spirit, I pray that your peace would be released. We prayed at the beginning, we'll pray it again at the end, Lord, but I pray for a deep ministry of peace. I pray, Father, that your people would know, Lord, and even the person who is farthest from you today, that they would know they can open their heart and receive the Prince of Peace. So God, bless this word. Let families be healed today. Let hearts come to rest today. Lord, I pray for wholeness. I pray for release. I pray for freedom. I pray that shame would be shattered forever and that people would know your love and your forgiveness. Bless this word in our time. Lord, make it more than just a sermon. Make it a time in your presence. In the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Come on, let's praise the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is able to offer something that transcends human understanding. That baby was the carrier and the bearer, the bringer of peace. And here's how he does it. So how does God do it? How does he accomplish peace in our lives? First of all, he grants peace with him. Jesus came to grant peace with him. The foundation of peace is you have to have peace with God, and we couldn't have peace with God. See, a lot of people, they pursue self-help, they pursue philosophies, they pursue getting better, they pursue a good path, but they don't realize that you can pursue any kind of life that you want, but you must pause and address the sin factor. Sin is what ruins everything on this planet and in our lives. And when it comes to sin, sin separates us from God. Sin separates us from the Prince of Peace, from the great reconciler, from the great redeemer, from the great transformer. And so we have to deal with the sin issue. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, the Bible says. You know, when you're a grandparent, your grandkids can do no wrong. They are always perfect. But when you're a parent, you see things differently, right? You know? And your kids say, what happened to you? You got amnesia or something? Or got a brain disease? Or what's going on with you? But the truth of the matter is that from the time we're little babies, we have an impulse to do wrong. Why? Is because we are born with a fallen nature. Okay, and the people who want to ignore the fact that we are born with a fallen nature will bang their heads against life, because the truth of the matter is, no matter how good you want to be, sometimes you're not so good. You can whisper amen for that one. Amen. It's the truth. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Jesus came full of love, full of mercy, full of power, full of wisdom to say, I have come to overcome the sinfulness inside of man. And so when Jesus died, he provided a way for us to have peace with God. How many are grateful for that? Hallelujah. Look at what the Bible says. Look at what the Bible says. It says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. How do you get peace with God? There's only one way. You have to put your faith in Jesus. Only Jesus could secure peace with God. No other philosopher, no other philosophy, no other attempt to do good. Only one can do it. It took the perfection of Christ to pay for our imperfection. And he said, treat me as guilty, so that the guilty could be treated as not guilty. How many are thankful that we have been declared not guilty because of what Christ has done? It says, for he himself is our peace. He has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. When we are born, we're born in a sinful state. And as we grow up, we sin. And that creates this dividing wall between us and God. And God, who is rich in mercy, sends his son. And when Jesus went to the cross, the next time you look at a cross, the cross is a symbol of the work of Christ. And what did Christ do? Christ tore down the dividing wall. So on our worst day, we are welcomed into the presence of God. So think about this. Some people are so bad that you wouldn't welcome them into your presence. But God, because he justified the sinner, hallelujah, he always welcomes. You say, well, what kind of God is that? Remember, watch this. He pays the penalty for their sin, and he's the only one with the power to transform their heart. So he says, come to me and I'll change you. You know, We celebrated a homegoing this week. A man of God, his name is Freddie. He lived, he had two different lives. One life, he was criminal. And I heard he was a bad dude. And then he met Christ. And the transformation that this man underwent, the sweetness, the love, the kindness. When you talk to him, you could never, ever imagine that this guy had that kind of past. You know why? Because if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Hallelujah. The old is gone and the new has come. Hallelujah. That's why I gave my life to Jesus. There's no other place to find peace and reconciliation with God but in Christ Jesus. You all know this is a little bit random, but so we had a guest speaker, Brother Alton and his wife. They live in Missouri. He's from Arkansas. And Freddie was, when they were coming in through the front, Freddie was walking by. And so he just, in his sweet, such a sweet guy, in his sweet way, he just said hello. I mean, talk about someone who, like, makes you feel so good as a pastor, because when people meet them, they're so oozing with the love of God. Freddie was one of those guys. So anyway, he meets them, and he talks to them for like 2 minutes or 1 minute, but he says, you know, I went to Walgreens down the block, and I stopped and I bought these like strawberry yogurt-covered pretzels. And I didn't want them for me, but I felt like I should buy them because I'm going to give them someplace, someone else. So he walks over, he starts talking to me. He says to Brother Alton's wife, Johanna, he gave her the pretzels. And then she walks into the office. She goes, I just met the sweetest man. And I don't know why, but he gave me yogurt-covered pretzels. Like, the things that God does to your heart. You just start giving stuff away. Rando doesn't even make sense. By the way, so we opened the pretzels, we tasted them. Because she's like, I'm not really into that. And then she took one bite and then she said, oh no, I'm taking those home with me. That's just a side story, but like we would never even tell his story, right? His past. But my goodness, the life that he lived when he made peace with God. And guess what? He is in glory right now. Come on, let's praise God. Freddie's in glory. Hallelujah. And he's waiting for us. He's going to usher us. He's waiting for us. He'll be waiting for us when we get there. How many would say amen? So think about this. All throughout the Bible, it's just crazy. The Bible says that Zacchaeus was this tax collector, and everybody hated him, and then he met Jesus, and then all of a sudden, he had peace with God. Mary Magdalene had seven demons cast out of her. Imagine being full of the devil, living a crazy life, and then she met Jesus, and she had peace with God. And story after story, no matter what your past is, there is peace with God through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He is able to grant peace with God. You take that all the way to the thief on the cross. Check this out. He's right on the cross with Jesus. He puts his faith in Jesus, and Jesus says, today you'll be with me in paradise. As I shed my blood on this cross, everything you ever did will be forgiven and forgotten, and you will be with me forever. Come on, what kind of God do we serve? Praise King Jesus. One more. I think about the son of Sam, the notorious, mass murderer in the 70s, who's still in jail, got over 300 years, and he will never get out of prison. So the son of Sam will never get out of prison until he gets to heaven, right? But one day, someone shared the gospel. And God didn't, when he turned to God, God didn't reject him. God embraced him. And he may not see the streets of our cities or walk in a park, but can I tell you something? The son of Sam has peace with God. And that peace will carry the government and his peace will know no end. The peace that the Son of Sam has today, it will take him into heaven forever and ever. Can I tell you something? No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, peace is possible. No matter how you feel today, peace is possible. Why? Because Jesus paid the price for our peace. Could we give him a hand clap offering of praise? Hallelujah. And just know this, you can theorize it, you can try it, you can try all kinds of experiences, but when you go deep down to the nitty-gritty of the human heart, no one else can grant you peace but Jesus. So the first thing he does is he grants us peace, and that peace is granted through the very sacrifice of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. And then number two, he grants peace, then he imparts peace from him. If they could send me a keyboard player. He imparts peace from him. Peace from him is able, when he imparts peace to you, it's able to surpass all human circumstances, all human realities and challenges. Here's what he said. He said, my peace I give you, my peace I leave you. You want to talk about an amazing promise? Could you put that promise up? My peace I give you. Look, peace I leave with you. My peace I, two words, ready? Give you. My peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world gives, because whatever the world offers you is temporary. You see, only the eternal one can grant peace that surpasses all understanding. He says, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Just receive my peace. You know what God wants to do today? He wants to impart peace to your soul. He wants to overshadow and overpower whatever craziness has gone on in your life, whatever tragedy, whatever hardship and difficulty. He's able by his mighty power to impart a peace that surpasses all understanding. Philippians 4:7 puts it this way, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in who? In Christ Jesus. The Prince of Peace wants to impart peace so that this week or tonight when you're walking around and things are coming at you and trying to bombard you, guess what? He will be like a wall of fire around you, so your heart will be at rest. Your soul will be full of joy. You'll worship him instead of worry before him. Hallelujah. He's the Prince of Peace. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He's the Prince of Peace. You know, when I first became a Christian, we used to sing hymns at our church, and I want to read these words to you, because when I was a baby Christian, this absolutely blew me away. Listen to this. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. There is a place of full release near to the heart of God, a place where all is joy and peace, near to the heart of God. You can be close to the heart of God. And when you get the heart of God, how many know he imparts peace? Let me give you an example of it from a place of real tragedy and hardship. You may have heard on the news about the shooting in Madison, Wisconsin. And it turns out that the teacher who literally, she tackled the young lady was obviously not in her right mind, so troubled, so lacking peace. We take for granted how much our children need the ministry of Jesus. I want to encourage you, bring your kids to church and read the Bible in your house. Introduce your children to the Prince of Peace, because he can provide a peace that surpasses all understanding. How many know the Spirit of Jesus can minister to the little fears of the youngest child? How many believe that here? How many are grateful for that today? But anyway, this teacher, she runs and she tackles the girl. I got details of the story, because it turns out that that teacher was my assistant Shelly, who's been here forever. She's Shelly's best friend. Actually, she was at her wedding. Shelly got married here to Suavec, and so Shelly's got like pretty like insider details on it. And please pray for her and for the family. The teacher was such a godly woman, and literally they say because she tackled the girl, it gave the law enforcement time to get in and stop her from doing more harm to others. How many would say amen for a heroic life like that? But anyway, this week, Shelly got to talk to the husband. She has three daughters. Please pray for them. You know what the husband said? The husband, I'm giving you like just a one statement over a complicated story, but he said, we're just basically surrounded by a bubble of peace. Like, I can't even explain it, but the Lord is keeping us. The Lord is helping us. It's a great loss. But guess what? Even in the midst of great loss, we can have the Prince of Peace. How many are thankful for the Savior that we serve? Hallelujah, Jesus. There's no limit to God meeting you right where you are. There's no circumstances, not this one, every single one. He is the Prince of Peace. And I'm going to close with this. So if you take the last 3,200 years, like when we really started to like mark out history, give or take, right? It turns out that there's only been about 280, it's 8% days of world peace. Of peace where there was, in over 3,000 years, which how many days in that? There's only been less than 300 days when there was no war on the whole planet. You know why? Because in this life, there are many, many troubles. Troubled people, troubled souls, all sorts of things. And yet, by the power of the living God, in the greatest war, you may have heard this before, but I want to close with this. The greatest war was World War I. The greatest loss of life took place in World War I. But did you know that on Christmas Day, listen to this. This was 1914. Late on Christmas Eve, 1914, men of the British Expeditionary Force heard German troops in the trenches opposite them singing and saw lanterns and small fir trees along their trenches. Messages began to be shouted between the trenches. The following day, British and German soldiers signaled their intention to suspend hostilities, creating an impromptu ceasefire. This was not their bosses. This was not political powers. This was not generals and politicians and presidents saying a peace. This was something that happened between them. And it says, they met in no man's land and sang Christmas carols, exchanged gifts, took photographs, and played impromptu games of soccer. They also buried casualties and repaired trenches and dugouts. And then the next day, they went right back to war. But one day, because of Jesus, God decided to impart peace. And on that day, the same way, how does God impart peace to troubled waters? You know what he says? He says, peace be still. And he imparts peace to the stormiest waters. How many would say amen? Hallelujah. What are we talking about? When God imparts peace, he just speaks peace into your soul, into the deepest part. And you could be having World War I, II, and III going on inside of you. And he is greater than every war inside of your mind and your heart and your feelings, because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. He can speak peace to a marriage today if you're watching online. He can speak peace between a father and a daughter, or a mother and a son. He can speak peace between friends who all of a sudden don't talk to each other. He can speak peace inside of the weary soul. He can speak peace wherever you are, whatever you're lacking. We serve a supernatural Holy Spirit who comes, and he came to bring peace. Hallelujah. Do you know the Prince of Peace? He is the Prince of Peace.